Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Woohoo! My goodness. I'm having trouble not just giggling, y'all. If you love garden humor, you will love our listener Trey, and you will really want to get up with us onto supertalk.tv to see all of his jokes today. They're fun. I've seen cats planted, but I've never seen dogs planted quite this way before. It's a good one. Really, really wonderful one. And of course, we should always spend more time outdoors, spend more time lying around on the lawn, as a matter of fact. Thank you, Trey. It's a good way to start the Garden Mama Show. And hey, Lance.
We're kindred spirits, Trey and I, because I have a German shorthaired that's his life. he grows like a plant. He's gotten better about eating them, but I still have to kind of
keep
him.
Doesn't mind lying down on the container.
No, he'll lie on. He'll get in on anything.
And look at those peaches.
Oh, they're beautiful,
good
aren't they?
Good grief. I didn't eat breakfast, y'all.
Yeah, that was... She came in this morning and said, I forgot this, and I didn't eat.
I didn't check my email. Peaches for breakfast. You know, I just, it's one of those mornings. But anyway, the good news is that it is not as hot as it's going to be in most of our listening area. The bad news is, of course, that depending on what you have going on, you may have to be kicking into a higher level of irrigation than you've been doing. Some of my container plants are a little bit wilty this morning. I noticed that. And in fact, there's a big stand of coleus here in front of the building where the radio network is housed, that the coleus are in bloom. And I don't necessarily like to tell people their business, but cut the flowers off the coleus. It depletes the leaves. The leaves will go on and make more plant for another 4 months in zone 8. But if you leave the leaves on and then they go to seed, well, the coleus then says, well, that's the end of that. Bye. See y'all. And they are, of course, wilted because that's the weather we're having at the moment. But if you've got coleus and they're going into a bloom state, if you've got catnip and it's going into a bloom state and you want more leaves, then the time is now to take those flowers off. That's the sort of advice I like to give. That's the kind of stuff I see as I go about the week, bring it to you here on the Garden Mama Show. You know, there are telephone lines, there are text lines. Y'all have all those numbers, I feel sure. But I would love to hear from you. And of course, the particular joy for me is that today is the first Saturday of a new month, which means we get to have a visit with Peaches in the next hour. So please hang around for that.
Yeah, and we're trying some new stuff, too.
Yeah.
We're bringing innovation.
We're continuously innovating here on the Garden Mama Show.
You folks today, our family, we love you so much.
We're just enjoying. Yeah.
How's everybody's summer going? I mean, we're almost to the end of this thing. I want to hear what we have left on the agenda in the yard, in the garden, and hopefully before the kids got to go back to school and everybody has to get ready for the winter. What are you going to do to just ring in the end of the summer?
Well, I'm breaking the rules.
Yeah, well, what's going on?
I'm breaking the rules. There's a wonderful set of notes that pass around, you know, what to do this month, what to do this week, that kind of stuff. And some of them are mine, some of them are other people's. But the whole disclaimer right now is, of course, unless it's too hot to breathe, you just don't go back in the house in that case.
I'll say it's been the summer. Last summer, I feel, to me, and again, I might have been in the Delta more and working in fields and stuff, but it seemed way worse last summer than this summer. But the bugs seem to be worse this year.
You would think that we had a conversation, which we've not had because I was so distracted this morning that we didn't do anything like that. But here's the deal. Last year in my town, here in the middle of Mississippi, Zone 8, smack dab in Jackson, there were three, on average, days over 100 degrees in August. Last year, there were 100. I mean, not, you know, not like 100 days in a row, but there were all of the all of them, the stats are just way out of line. So yes, it's hotter, mm-hmm. and that in turn favors some insects more than others. There are people out there who are just really, really happy because the flies seem to have finally gotten overheated. Not at my house. They're still there. The cicadas are still at my house every morning, loud as can be.
It's just, one thing I've seen this year, too, and maybe we'll have some confirmation and some good pictures. I've been trying to grab you guys a couple out in the courtyard area as I'm up here a little bit. And so I'll see the big cow ants, the furry red. I've not seen those in years. I've seen hundreds of those this year.
I saw one of those this week, two of these, actually, this week.
Yeah. Now, is that something that's seasonal, like with the cicada? And two, those things are huge. I remember them as a kid, but I haven't seen them like I have this summer.
I don't know if they are seasonal in that way. Somebody else that knows more about it would have to tell us. But when we see, for example, there were people in the springtime, if you recall, telling us that there were more grasshoppers than there had been. And I see all of that as the result of really, frankly, very tough years. And in our it's the same reason we have a great blueberry crop. You know, everything's trying to get over the fact that there were all these days in the way too hot zone last summer and then the drought of the fall. I mean, the two things together do stress the plants in the same ways that they stress us. So the good news is that we get some benefits, but the bad news is the insects are trying to survive too, I think. So
they're doing a good job.
Busy out there. They're working on it.
I got ate up yesterday. I was sitting out after I got done late afternoon, just reading, getting ready a little bit for today, and man, the mosquitoes. And you know, we'll have the mosquito authority people come by, but I got hit, and I'm not really, mosquitoes traditionally don't bother me that bad, but these are vicious.
They're as hungry as I've ever seen them, let me put it that way. We've cleared a whole lot more of my property, but here's the other problem, friends. There's all kind of stuff all over media, whether it's the internet or your other devices that you get information on from. You know, some people subscribe to services that are not actually internet. They just get information from someplace that's sent to them. But the idea is that there's so much right now in the way of, this will take care of all your insects. You know, be careful. Do your research. Find out if there's actually a study that tells you that this particular method works, because some do, some don't. And I don't want you to, no offense to the guy who no doubt is still promoting this, no, grits do not solve the fire ant problem. Okay, I mean, there's a whole lot of things that actually don't work and have been shown not to work. So be careful, but don't get fooled, and also don't get bit. Put on your repellent, put on your sunscreen, all of the things that we don't want to do. Oh, my goodness. All righty, this is great. This is an anticipatory question, and I really do like that very, very much. There are three mature rose bushes at my new home that produce but have not been cared for. I would like to transplant them and would appreciate any insights on timing and preparing them. Well, the good news is that right now is rose pruning time. So the thing you're going to do when you want to move a rose this fall after the temperatures are not so crazy for that particular process, you always want to prune it. So why not go ahead and do the pruning now? That will in turn give you a fall flush of flowers more than likely, and it will also prepare the plant for being moved. So that's the first thing, is go ahead and do your pruning now. The second thing is that as we get a little closer to time, I'm going to say you probably want to move that rose bush in October. So prepare the soil between now and then wherever you're going to move it to. And somewhere around mid-September, take a sharp shovel and go around the bushes where the part you intend to dig up. Don't dig them up yet. Just break the soil and go down into the roots about a shovel's depth. That helps, again, to prepare them for the move. And then it'll be time to move them. At that point, all you're doing is making sure that they get what they need to survive the winter, which will be water and mulch, if it's not rainy, and some mulch to help them get over the hump between being moved and getting established again. That's a really good question. I hope they turn out to be beautiful. There we go. No, that's true. There's a reason they're called cow killer ants. And according to Donald in Oxford, they are in fact rare.
Okay, well, so, I've seen a bunch this summer, honestly, and some of the biggest ones I've ever seen.
The place that I saw them, they were bigger than I've seen before, and they were on a fence. There were about four or five of them in a row. I mean, like, you know, can.
And I guess the question I have is, like, where did they come from? I mean, I've seen a couple as big as cicadas. Like, they could literally be coming from a hole, you know.
We'll have to do a little entomological research.
I figured somebody out there knew. They've seen it too.
Yeah, we would hope so.
Kind of like blown away. Those things are they're fascinating.
Oh, I wanted to tell y'all about this event coming up. The Cooperative Extension folks, Smart Landscapes. I don't know if y'all have caught on to this, but it's a series of Zoom webinars. In other words, you don't have to go out the house. You have to just have Wi-Fi and a computer and be able to watch this and participate. The reason I'm interested in this one is because Patricia Drackett from Crosby Arboretum, she's the director there, will be talking about stewardship of your property. And she is so smart, and this is going to be a great, great program. And then Darlin Eddie Smith will be talking about native plants for pollinators. This is a very important topic. There are a lot of people who are interested in getting pollinating gardens that will sustain pollinators, but they really do need to include native plants so that we're sustaining the pollinators that actually live here. So it's an important topic. This is going to be August the 14th from 10 o'clock in the morning until noon. So get yourself over to the website of the MSUcares.com and search up Smart Landscapes, the webinars. Or I'm sure you can find Eddie Smith online and get to him as well that way. Okay. Let's see. What else is going on in here? We got some good texts today. Here's a good question. Have we seen more dragonflies? Mm-hmm. Did y'all see the dragonfly horde swarm? I don't even know where that was, but my backyard is much, much denser in dragonflies than it usually is, and that's really lovely. And I have a hummingbird that has stayed all summer too, so go figure.
Yeah, I saw one. I had one yesterday just buzzing around about knee high, loving it. And the hawk was looking at it like, is that a bird? What is this thing?
Yeah, he'll get worn out trying to chase that one.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The butterflies are out, but I've seen more dragonflies, and I have seen a couple, you know, generally ones I don't see are the hummingbirds. You know, they've been just buzzing around.
There they are. Yeah. But and the timing part is what is so unusual. It's just one of those things we have to keep track of and stay interested in and see what we can figure out. Good morning as well to Trey, as well as to good morning Paula. Here's a good one. Greg and Vaughn, of course, which is Zone 8, is got blackberry plants. He's going to clean them up this week. My hat is off to you. It is so hot.
but yes, this is
a good time to clean up that particular area.
And I eat my weight in blackberries.
Well, it's wonderful.
Aren't they?
The dead canes, he's absolutely right about this. The dead canes are the ones that need to be taken out. And the older looking cane that's still producing. Now, I'm going to take out the ones that didn't produce. The one that did produce but still looks old, I'm probably going to leave unless it dominates the bush. If you don't have any new growth at all, you're going to want to take out some of the ones that could maybe still make but are actually stifling the growth underneath. If you've got old and new, I'm going to take out most of the old and not any of the new. Okay? I love that. This is a really good one. The older ones that produce really good berries, the later varieties. And the super fresh one that has the blooms in it, do I need to prune those? No, not until after they fruit. Just wait on that. Wait on that. Lots and lots of questions in the Garden Mama group on Facebook. When you don't put a picture up with your request, because I do approve, or one other person approves posts for that, then you have to wait until I talk on the show, because it's all about visuals. And if you don't have a picture of it, really not, it doesn't fit into the mesh there. People can't look at it and tell you what it is. And descriptions vary so much that I like to hold that sideways. Plus, it ends up with a whole lot of type on a page that should be pictures. So, anyway, Ryan asks about crepe myrtle bark that has turned black. Y'all know about that. When it's the bark turning black, it's different from the leaves turning black. He says that his landscaper sprayed a fungicide last year and it took care of it. That's interesting. I'm glad it did. Should he do it again or wait? I would check with the landscaper and make sure what product they used, because what you need is a systemic insecticide. And there may have been a fungicide in it that won't hurt, but you need to make sure what they did use. And if you've got the problem now is the time to take care of it, for sure. Such a pretty bunch of container plants. Thank you, Paula. That's lovely. Beautiful, beautiful field of zinnias that Greg's got in Vaughan. Zinnias are so cool. There's no reason. I know that people have felt like there's just so many zinnias. Well, yeah, there's so many zinnias. That's one of the great joys. We can grow all of them, which is terrific. When do I prune back my blueberries in Lee and Carroll County? Lee, if they finished bearing, it's the time to do it. And you need to do it within that first month so that they have plenty of time to grow without any fear of anything getting frozen, which we don't have much fear of for a long time, even in Carroll County. So go ahead and do that. I pruned a little bit more on one of mine that I don't really mind whether it comes back or not. And I think it's going to be the best shaped one, but I may not have berries there next year. We will just see. Another question about blackening on leaves in the Garden Mama group came from Kay. Black spots on hydrangea leaves. That's not uncommon. If it's the macrophylla, the big-headed, the round-headed flowers, then that's really not uncommon. Those are common leaf spots. The good news is it's time to prune those plants, too, so you can cut off the damaged leaves. And be aware that if this plant is if it's actually leaf spot and it's not just a little burn from the heat or something like that, then next spring you'll want to inoculate that plant. You'll want to spray it with fungicide in the very early spring when the leaves are fresh, and that helps it avoid getting the leaf spot. The leaf spot comes along in the cool spring weather, but you don't see the results of it until now. So that's why it is something you have to kind of mark your calendar to take care of. Same thing happens to Japanese maple. Same thing can happen to dogwood trees. They'll get spots at this time of the year, but the problem actually began several months ago. Really good to be here today. I'm so glad y'all are. I hope that, I hope your irrigation systems are working, even if that's you standing there with a hose, which is like me, or if it's if it's even worse, just turn the air conditioner down a little bit and look outside through the window. We'll be right back.
Radio on some eternal morning, we shall meet them over on the Hallelujah Show. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on
and listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory share. Turn the lights down low.
Turn your lights down low
and listen to the Master's radio. Touch with
God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
It's a big job keeping a whole planet fed. More American producers are turning to the fuel that gives them the power to do it, propane. With lower costs, cleaner emissions, and greater reliability, propane can do more around your operation better than any other fuel. And with an abundant supply made right here in the U.S., you're helping America stay energy independent. We've got a world to feed, so let's get to work in a clean energy revolution. Energy for everyone. Propane. For more information, visit mspropane.com.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerservices.com.
If your engine is...
You know, there's always another name for something. Cow killer ants are also known as red velvet ants.
Yeah, I mean, they look like they. You can
because,
make a candy of them and put them on like a red
like
velvet
that,
cake.
You know, but don't
great,
do that.
Be a great little decoration if somebody
yeah,
can figure out how to like make a fake one.
They
you know,
would
out
be. They would be a fun one though to make out of fondant.
I'm just saying you could do the icing and make it around, you know, like make them look like those ants
because
they're impressive.
They are indeed a stinging ant and yeah, but I can't find. I do not have any idea about why there's so many more now or why we don't see them every year. You'd think we would. We have the environment here for everything. Why wouldn't we? Somebody will tell us, but I wasn't able to locate that particular factoid. Interestingly enough, Lee in Carroll County also has drift roses, and I love this description. They're drifting a little bit. Can I prune them at any time? You actually can. The good news about drift roses is that if you prune them pretty much each time they bloom or every couple of times that they bloom, you'll have thicker plants and they also won't drift because they tend to have a little bit, they'll send out one branch that's longer than the rest and they look like they need a haircut because they need a haircut. And we're always hesitant because there's flowers on those stems and you don't necessarily want to let go, but you, in order to keep the plant itself healthy and happy, you do have to give it a little bit more of that rounded look or the in a row, perhaps you need to actually help them grow together. So that's it's a beautiful plant though. Wonderful thing. Cherokee plums. Oh my goodness. Native plum trees. They've been blooming, but our texter this morning says that there have only been 6 or 8 plums. Well, here's the problem. They've been there 5 years and he describes them, or she describes them as bushes, which they may be, but generally these have turned into more trees with canopies by the 5-year point. So what I would suggest is that next January, I wouldn't do anything right now, but next January you're going to want to do some pruning to selectively narrow the growth profile and give each of those branches that you're choosing a chance to get stronger and bigger. And because the blooms are prolific, they should be able to make more fruit. You may find that you have to control some insects and some diseases along the way, but for the most part, Cherokee plums are easier to grow that in that regard than others are. They do have a thickety habit, though, and I think that might be what's taking away from getting more fruit because you're growing too much leaves. So try that. I hope it will help some. Today, Lance, is one of my favorite days of the year. It is National Mustard Day. As a condiment goes, I don't think there's anything better than mustard. We can argue if you'd like. You know, you know the text line. You can tell me something else. But it can be horseradish mustard. It can be burgundy mustard. Now, that's one. Yes, and Dijon and dark mustard and Creole mustard and all of those things. And I'm not a snob. I'm also going for the French's, you know, and the yellow mustard. But I just didn't know. I had no idea that people actually liked mustard as much as they do.
I love mustard. I like all the types of mustard. The horsey
too.
Mustard. The,
all those things.
You know, honey mustard. Yellow mustard.
Oh, yeah, then there's honey mustard.
Honey mustard's
right.
Amazing.
There's honey mustard.
And, you know, you can do a lot with a honey mustard, too. It's good to take it and take a piece of pork and baste it up real good with it and throw it in the oven. You know,
or chicken or fish
or fish.
Anything.
Yeah,
shoe
just,
leather.
Create a little flavor
tofu.
And love. Exactly.
We can do it with tofu, too. It's great.
Love it, yeah.
We can absolutely, whatever it is.
And just so you know, we do have a video call today set up.
Yeah.
With the famous Mark Peaches Patrick.
Keep our fingers crossed.
No, it works. I'm letting you know it works.
Okay,
I've already
got,
I'm looking at this handsome gentleman sitting here, and you know, he's ready to go for us. He checked in early.
Good for him.
He's
we
on
appreciate
time.
That. Yeah.
We've got this rolling, man.
Well,
so
wonderful.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, we're going to do that in the next hour. It's going to be a good time, I promise. So, you know, condiment as a thing, there's not that many words that actually come from two different Latin words that we've managed to smash together. But pickle is Dutch, by the way. That's a whole nother discussion. But condimentum is spice and seasoning, whereas condire means preserve and pickle or season. So it's two versions of season, but you do pickle the mustard seeds to get there. So that's how we got the word.
Well, and, you know, football season is coming up, and I have the unique honor of getting to host the high school football scoreboard show. And I learned last year that there is a thing called a Kool-Aid pickle. So You know, what have you ever?
I know not.
Yeah, you take Kool-Aid.
It's on my list with Twinkies.
Yeah. So I mean, if anybody has the secret sauce for that, let me know. I'm game.
We start. I tell you what, it's pickles, a raucous and fun time. I must say, as a high school football fan, I give all honor to y'all because that's a good time.
It is.
That show
fun.
Is a lot of.
Well,
fun.
And we have so many great crossover listeners. I got to sit in yesterday for Borky. He was on site for the Sports Talk remote at the beautiful Sheraton Hotel for the Hall of Fame induction.
Oh, yeah, what a great day.
And I get to see the late afternoon guys, you know, and gals mm-hmm. that text. And mm-hmm. we have so many crossover guests throughout the day. It's really fun to see them in different or watch their texts.
We like to
in
hit different buttons.
Yeah. Well, you get to see their perception on sports and then gardening and politics. Yeah. So it is a lot of fun. But we have a wonderful listener base. And getting to see some of those yesterday in a sports context that we get to see on Saturdays. Thank you, guys. You are great.
And that's some of the ones that we're going to read out loud someday.
Yeah.
And we had just a few, go back and read through these things.
We had a few saying, hey, can't wait for the football show. And so, I mean, we're ramping up. That's what I'm saying. We're almost done with summer. It seems like it's almost slipped away from us. And I don't know what you think about that, but I don't know if I've had enough pool time yet.
I don't know that that has quite been filled out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do know that as we get towards we're now in August, so if you want to know what's going on with me, it is full tilt, pedal to the metal, getting ready for the Bottle Tree Garden Tour in my neighborhood in Fondren and Jackson the first weekend of October. I'm happy to announce right now that, yes, I will be broadcasting this program from Fondren, from my own neighborhood. I'm so excited. Great sponsorships from Lakeland Yard and Garden and Trustmark and, of course, the Fondren Renaissance Foundation.
Don't let her sell that short now. She's been working on this for a whole year since last year. We talked about it, and we sat down, and we looked at where we wanted to set up and all
what
this.
We could
and,
do.
And then it was like, okay, well, this isn't going to be the year we're going to pull it off. But for the last year, she's stayed focused. She's gotten this done, and we're going to have a remote for the bottle tree.
You know, there's people that are going to say, it takes her a year to do
it. It's not that. It's just, it's actually, getting things going and finding,
the first of anything is, this is the third year of the tour, so it's time for us to expand. And we got a lot going on.
I'm very excited about that.
Art and gardens and all sorts of stuff. There's even a night event, so I'll tell you all about that as we get closer to October. But please mark your calendar. First weekend, October. Got it. Oh, my goodness. Y'all are so funny. Awesome mustard. Different kinds of mustard coming in. But perhaps Rhett has the summation. I don't particularly enjoy, he says, white bread, bologna, nor mustard. But you put them all together, and it's a different story. You're right, Rhett. You're absolutely right. There's one of those things. When I was a kid, I didn't like pickle relish until I realized that was what was in Thousand Island dressing. So you put the mayonnaise and the ketchup and the pickle relish, I'm happy. But I know there's other things in it if it's fancy. I get that. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. Oh, fun. Now, Corinne says she's tired of drifting with the roses. She says I'm tired of trimming the drift roses each time they bloom for 10 years now, but they're beautiful. I know that. Okay, and it does take that. What about replacing them either with the white icebergs or the white encore azaleas? Well, the iceberg roses are going to need not quite as much pruning, but they're not going to bloom all the time like the drifts do. And the white encore azaleas, I'm all for. And they're a beautiful plant, and they are, I think they're one of the ones that's a little bit smaller. I'm concerned they might be bigger than your drifts, but that might not make any difference in that particular area. When you decide to dig up the drifts, let me know, because I like them. I can use those. Oh, my goodness. That's so funny, though. You do get used to doing something. I have just made hot pepper vinegar. This week.
Do what?
I just made hot pepper vinegar this week. And
it'd be amazing.
It is.
Of course.
But I forgot that the one that I have in the back of my cabinet is actually older than the one in the front. And I used it and almost hurt myself. So now I'm going to dilute it with some more peppers and make another blend. It turns out that if you're one of those people who likes the vinegar on the table and you like the little green pepper in it, the little kind of pick a pepper sort of thing, if you like that, you would actually probably like shishito peppers in a vinegar sauce because it's an equally mild form, but it has a little, it has real good taste and has just a tiny little bit of bite, not very much at all. The big pickle jar is on the counter, and there you go. Minnie had a package of red Kool-Aid dumped in, so I think we found your next road trip, Lance. Let's get you to the Kool-Aid pickles.
I'm ready. You know, and we had several during the season last year that mentioned how awesome they are, and I'm anxious.
I don't have any doubts.
I'm anxious about this. So,
yeah. You know, I will pickle almost anything. So
yeah, there are things in life to be anxious about, right?
The grocery store, a small neighborhood grocery store close to me, has finally given in to every, not my request, but the request of numerous people for pickle juice in a jar that you use to make other pickles. And I can't decide what I think about it, but it sure does taste good. So it makes a good pickle.
It's good for you, too.
But can't you just take the pickle juice when you finish the pickles?
I don't know. Yeah, I think you can. I mean, I've drank a lot of that stuff over the years, being an old athlete.
Need all that multiple salt.
Well, yeah, you know, you always had to worry about just staying hydrated, getting the salt, making sure your body was flushed out. And then.
And it's not really good to carry a whole lot of liquids with you on the bus.
No. You may make a mistake and it might end up being bourbon or something.
Something we're not really, we're not hoping to have. That's very, very true. All right, another good question. And this is one that I probably, I don't know. I think I've answered it before, but I'm not sure if I've done it recently. This Becky wants to grow tulips and allium bulbs. Now, alliums are flowering onions in this case, and there are quite a few of them. I saw them, on sale, in fact, at the garden center that I was at a couple weeks ago, because it's not thought of to plant them now. They were left from last year. Well, that doesn't mean they're not good. If you see a rack of bulbs and you want to buy some, put your hand on them, touch them. If they're not soft or crumbly, you know, like papery, then they're going to be fine. So the good news is that she wants to know if they're perennial or if she would have to dig them up or whatever. The tulips are annual. If you grow tulips in the South, unless you are growing one or two varieties that are specifically perennial, you're going to have an annual flower. And they're beautiful. They're inexpensive. Plant them every year. It's a good time. But in terms of the alliums, many of them can be dug up at the end of the season. Some of them will be perennial, but it's dicey to figure out which ones will be, but you do end up with a really nice flower. Beautiful plants. Really nice plants. Allium. They're related to onions, but they don't smell
that.
That
was going to be my thinking. You said they are or not edible?
They're not.
So it's a flowering.
These are the ones that have been cultivated for their flower. I'm sure something would eat it, but it wouldn't be me or you.
It's not what you and I want.
No. Okay. Ooh, can I pickle bitter cucumbers? They taste bitter on the vine. Can I pickle them? I'm probably not going to do that, but someone can disagree with me, and we will give Jan a different piece of advice if you all have.
And this is my being an idiot here, obviously. I want to show my lack of knowledge, but if you take a cucumber and you pickle it, is that going to be a pickle?
Yeah.
Okay, so that there's no specific type of cucumber that makes a pickle, right? I mean, it's any of them or any
time? It's all of them.
It's all of them, okay.
But
so
not
you can pickle anything.
But not zucchini. I had someone attempt to pickle zucchini once, and it turned into a mushy mess.
Well, I do want to tell you, I'm so excited about our little video call because I have worked some magic here, and I don't think you folks have any idea what's coming. So you're gonna have to tune in to what
if you're watching SuperTalk.tv, you're actually seeing his face.
I'm so excited.
It's a rare thing.
No, I had
see
to.
See more
I
had roses
this,
behind
I
me.
Yeah, well,
that's wonderful.
Y'all to know that it's not going to be just a video call.
Did you like, now that, see, that one's from me. Did you like my birds and bees cartoon today?
I love it, yes. The cartooning was perfect.
We have lots of cartoons today.
Cartooning.
Oh, my goodness. This is one question that I will also ask Mark about because I think he just did this. But Errol has a daylily and Louisiana iris bed that's real weedy, and he wants to know if it's too early to mow over it. I would say you're almost too late in that Louisiana iris begin growing in September. So I don't know. I'm going to ask Mark because I believe he's just done that.
And can you pull the Louisiana iris now and transplant them also?
Yes.
You can? Okay.
Yeah, you can transplant them now. The daylilies, too, for that matter, as long as you don't hurt yourself in the heat and you make sure you got enough water to them. I think we need to let Steve Winwood walk us out of here. We'll be right back.
Nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. A lot of businesses are losing opportunities to get new customers if they're not online. With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. The highly trained and trusted team at SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
We are the people, Mississippians. We are the land, growing food, fiber, and timber. We are there when you need us, from the roof over your head to the food on your table. We are small town, but big moments, your next door neighbors. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
At Key Construct.
My childhood when I thought every year I should be able to leave the South in July and not come back till November when it cooled off, and then they said, no, school starts. You'll have to be here. No traveling shoes for you, kiddo. You got to go to school. Welcome back into the Garden Mama Show. Today you will know, if you didn't know already, that William Shakespeare is the first person that we know of who actually wrote the phrase, in a pickle. That was in The Tempest. But in that case, it meant drunk. So you can be pickled in the same way of a lot of other things, so that it's all about the seasoning and the, well, quite frankly, I think the limits of brine have been discussed enough, but that's another story. Indeed, who is it that wants to know? Greg and Vaughn wants a refrigerator pickle recipe. He says he can't get it right. So if y'all got one, send it, and then I'll copy it and send it to him. Okay? We would love to do that. Oh, JC in Tupelo, you have really opened up the can on this one, my friend. 2 acres of pumpkins. Holy moly, thank you. Appreciate you very much for doing that. But he does not have beehives, and he wonders whether or not he needs to worry about the pollination. I doubt it. This is about peak season, you know, when we're going to be going into the blooms and whatnot. This is really peak season for so many pollinating insects that I suspect, unless something unusual is going on, that you will have plenty. I will tell you, though, that it's always a good idea to walk the fields and look and see, just to be sure you have both male and female flowers, because pumpkins, like squash and everything else in that family, have got to have both in order to make some pumpkins. If you don't, then we may have to talk about a different kind of pollination, putting you to work, let you be the bee, as it were. But most of the time, we're going to have enough. Okay. Let's see, what else? Do I need to dig up Asiatic lily bulbs? I don't think so. You're in zone 8, Rhett, so am I. I don't dig mine up. They multiply just fine where they are. But I will tell you, that's another plant that if you are trying to do some dividing, some digging, some relocating, as I am doing, this is a fine time. As long as you are not digging into very, very dry or very, very wet soil, you can dig those bulbs up and replant them at this point. I would not try to store them. I would get the soil ready where they're going to go and then dig them up and move them kind of all in one motion if you want to move them. But you don't have to. They will be perennial. Joe in Madison has a hibiscus that is just beautiful but won't bloom. My goodness, what is the problem? It's in the sun. It's everything. It looks fine, Joe. It looks to me like it might need a flower-forming fertilizer. And if you haven't fertilized it with something that's like 0, 10, 20, or something like that, get a box of that, mix it up, and pour it in, or in a solution of water. Or you might find that same thing in a granular form that you're using out in some other part of your garden that has a very low nitrogen. But if you got to buy something, buy a flower-forming fertilizer, and I think that will solve it. It takes about 2 or 3 weeks after that for it to start setting buds, but they will do that. They will get those. I didn't know this. Y'all are so smart. Y'all know things that I don't know. But if you're trying to limit calories, one of the most obvious things in the world would seem to be to skip the dip. And indeed, there is proof of that, but it's not for the reason you think. When I read this story, this report rather, coming to us from Penn State, I thought, well, you must not eat as many chips because the dip is enticing, and you would eat more of the dip, eat more of the chips than the dip if you had both. Turns out that's not it. It's actually that we eat just as many chips, but we load them up with dip if the dip is available, and that's where all the extra calories really come from, is the dip itself. I think that's interesting. We can go into a discussion of what dip would do that for us. In my case, it's going to be some sort of artichoke spinach thing, but there are other folks that like other kinds of snacky foods. Pretty fun stuff. I had no idea about, you know, sometimes I say stuff and then it comes back around to me and I think, why didn't I write that article? This was one of them. I had no idea how many people are as concerned as I am about our need to be kind, our need to think better of people, our need to treat people as we wish to be treated. I know that sounds old-fashioned. It is. It's also new-fashioned. There's no question but that taking some of the edges off and being, for example, I'm one of those people that will start a sentence with, well, why did you da-da-da-da-da, whatever it is. I probably shouldn't start so many sentences that way. I should probably start them and say, I noticed this. Can you tell me something about it? That would be a little bit more communicative, perhaps. More chickadee of me, as I like to think that I'm going to be. But we got research now from the American Psychological Association reporting at their national conference. This is about 1,800, 2,000 participants. The whole business of being judgmental, being judgy, and yes, we all are judgy. Come on, let's face it. Even if it's, are my zinnias as pretty as yours, or, you know, or big, much bigger issues. But judging how happy you are personally is not a very good idea. You usually get it wrong. And particularly if you happen to lean toward depression, you never think of yourself as okay. And I don't say never and always very much, but that is a statement that they make to us. One's own level of happiness are usually associated with thinking less of oneself. So I'm saying be kind to others. Be kind to yourself, too. Everybody needs a break. Everybody needs a break. I hope that works, JC. Let me know, okay? No problem. Good questions. Is it okay to try to plant spaghetti squash right now, or is it too late? You can plant the hard shell squashes, but it's going to be harder than the summer squashes. The spaghetti squash, acorn squash, butternut squash, you can plant those now, and as long as everything goes well, because they have a longer growing season, you understand, you'll be fine. It's kind of like Chinese cabbage and regular headed cabbage. Chinese cabbage actually gets growing a little bit faster than headed cabbage does. But if you like headed cabbage, you're not going to be satisfied with the others. So if you like spaghetti squash and it doesn't do what you want it to do, the others are not going to be interesting to you. But if you can make, it's a case of providing a little bit of shade on those brand new seedlings when they first come up, making sure you keep things watered well, and be sure that you're paying attention to them, because when they're babies, squash plants are vulnerable to a lot of things. In a week of 100 degree temperatures in zone 8, they're vulnerable to that. So take care of them and they'll be okay. This is a good question, y'all. Let's see, Joe. Oh dear, Joe's got nutsedge in the Asiatic jasmine. This is a tough one. I'm going to say that you're going to need an herbicide, but I'm going to tell you that the only way to apply it is going to be to paint those things. And I know what a task I'm saying here. The problem is that if you start cutting them or pulling them, you just make more. And you also end up with, of course, a different set of problems, which are that your Asiatic jasmine then has to be regrown. So let's try and paint those and get them to wither away. We'll talk more about that if you'd like. Let's get on the bus. What do you think? Janice and Bobby are in the front end. You and I are in the back. Let's take a ride. Come back.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Please do not use gas appliances for purposes for which they are not intended. A gas oven should never be used for heating purposes. Never store flammable materials inside. The Mississippi Propane Gas Association takes pride in keeping your home or business protected. We ensure that our products are delivered in compliance with the highest industry safety standards to safeguard your family, your property, and the environment. Our dealers participate in the industry's best practices for propane usage and promote consumer safety education. Visit mspropane.com.
I want to learn how to...
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Well, good morning, good morning. Welcome in. Wow, this looks so comfy. We're having a good time today. Lance, you did a brilliant job on this one. Guess who's here, folks? But he's not really here. I'm there. It's Peaches Patrick. Welcome in, Mark. How's the Saturday looking?
Uh-oh. Technology.
That's technology will catch up with us in a moment. He's going to start talking anytime now. He can't hear. Okay, well then in that case, I will bring you the factoids that I was able to learn during the break about cow killer or red velvet ants. I'm preferring red velvet at this moment. You know why? Because I have learned what their purpose is. You know, I have seen in my lifetime that everything does have a purpose. And in fact, in this particular case, these are predators of ground nesting wasps and yellow jackets, and unfortunately bees that nest in the ground. But the good news is that this is the yellow jacket predator. So for those of us who have had terrible encounters with yellow jackets over the years, we don't have to do that. We can give them a little tip of the hat and say thank you for them. They unfortunately predate the nest from the point of view, of course, of the yellow jackets and the ground nesting wasps. They predate that nest and take it over, and that's where they lay their eggs. But these are not colony creatures, the cow killers. They're solitary, so that's why I'm surprised that we've seen so many. I guess they're gathering up looking for more yellow jackets, which is fine with me. I have a big problem with yellow jackets. So there's something else to add on to the interest of this particular day's story for you. I have a couple of things going on. I love hearing from y'all. There were some great ones. Another question about drift rose pruning, and Jackie sent a picture. They are tough. They're it's a very durable rose, but hers have gotten overgrown, and I'm going to say yes indeed, do prune them. Prune them back as much as by half if you have to, because that's what's going to give you a better response from them. They'll grow back so much more quickly. Okay.
We can give it a try again and see. And
hey, Mark, how's everything? Can you hear us yet?
Not getting anything on him.
Nope.
So,
no, we're not getting anything. Just keep smiling. He can see me. I'm telling him to smile. There, he's smiling. We can do mime gardening.
Yeah. We'll get it.
The reason that we're doing this, y'all, is not just because we think supertalk.tv is so cool. It's because it gives this program more range and a wider opportunity to see things and, in fact, and to be in places where we are not necessarily at any given time. And that's part of the trying to keep y'all interested. We want y'all to be, you know, we want you to be just every Saturday morning, get up and drink your coffee and say, well, let's see what she's doing. You know, what happened over there? You know, well, what happened over here is this, that, and the other thing. I've been reflecting a lot on texture and color and the summer garden. My point of view is very much to keep everything in a bright colored fashion, and that's usually flowers, but it's not entirely. Variegated canna leaves, for example, are one of those things that I don't care if you're in the sun or the shade, they're going to be gorgeous. If they're in the shade with caladiums, you may not get canna flowers, but you're going to have a beautiful contrast between some of those kind of windy, snaky, looks like an old road map, you know, caladiums, and the really different colors that they bring, whether it's pink or white or any number of other shades. And, of course, the difference between that and the canna that would be standing behind it. But I got a couple of others that I want to let you know about. In addition to the coleus, in addition to caladiums, the coleus, if the red leaves are more dominant than other colors in that plant, they're going to take more sun. So you'll be able to put them in a slightly brighter location, one that you might like a little bit better. I do hope that that color palette that you pick for your garden holds on and takes you places that you hadn't been before, particularly when you're looking for things like texture and variegation. I have to admit, I've always wished for plaid plants, you know, things and leaves that were entirely different. And some of them almost are. When you think about croton, there's some designs in there that are very, very fabric-like, and that's kind of fun. Bill's in Perkinston, well, Poplarville. What a cool place, by the way, if y'all don't happen to know it. The leaves of the pawpaw trees are drooping. The color looks good. Any thoughts? Here's what I think. I think something's probably out of balance. I think that you've probably got either a faster rate of growth than the tree expected to have at this particular point in its life, or a lack of deep roots to hold on in hot weather to give that opportunity for the leaves to stay crisp. So I'm going to say soak it deeply. Particularly if it's not raining in your area, and I don't know where you are. Well, Poplarville, but I don't think y'all are up for any rain this week either, particularly. So make sure that you're soaking it deeply. And, of course, always look for anything that might be boring into the end of the beginning part of the branch that's wilted. Because there might be a borer that's literally taking the life away from that particular branch and causing it to wilt. But usually it's a function of hydration, and we can fix that. All right. We can usually fix that, I should say. Well, for those of you who have lots of energy or who, you know, I don't know, garden at night, even though it's 75 degrees at night, you may be out there with your headlight and your shovel digging up a new flower bed or a new vegetable bed for this winter. Get ready now if you want to plant wildflowers. We talk about how beautiful wildflowers are, but we don't always give ourselves the opportunity to realize how much effort actually goes into growing them. But if we have coneflowers and Rudbeckia, black-eyed Susans on our agenda, if we have obedient plant on our agenda, if we have all of these beautiful things that have a long life in our gardens, either as perennial plants or as reseeders, the fall is going to be the time to plant many of them. You want that soil to already be worked up. You don't necessarily want to over-fertilize it. You just want to make sure that it has good drainage. And then I'm going to say put a top on it, you know, put some mulch on so you don't lose either soil to a dry time or get overwhelmed with water if it turns out that August and September are very wet. So I think that's some good ideas for you. Everybody wants to know from time to time, they're trying to get me to tell them how we have, how can I propagate fill in the blank, okay? And right now it's things like abelia that you're seeing that are blooming right now with their little tiny trumpet-shaped flowers that are so popular with the hummingbirds. Really covered up in butterflies, too, for that matter. Rose of Sharon is also in this category. Thin stems, but they don't usually bloom on every stem. And because they're about middle of their season, that wood is not going to snap yet. You go out about 6 inches from the tip of the cutting, tip of the stem rather, to take the cutting, and you're going to bend it, but it'll bend, not easily, but it won't just snap. That's the wood that will root the most easily in things like abelia. Indeed, most of your roses, even some things like viburnum and quite a few azaleas, will root at that semi-soft wood stage. You know, I love when I have to go and relearn things. There's a good one. So all my life I have been taught, and you, I'm sure you have too, that how things actually work isn't necessarily how we thought it was going to work. There are soft woods and there are hard woods. Well, guess what? Now we have another category. This is crazy to me. I can't believe that it took microscopic being able to look inside even deeper than we ever have to find out that liriodendron, that is to say tulip poplar, both our tulip poplar and the European version, are entirely different in the way their wood is. It's new wood. It's different. It's not hardwood. It's not softwood. How did we not know this? Well, we knew that they were hard to root. And that may have been part of what led us down this road. But both Chinese tulip tree, and our native one, Liriodendron tulipifera that we grow here, have larger microfibrils than their hardwood relatives and completely different from the softwood ones. This is how the fibers are aligned in the layers, but not the cambium. It's in the secondary cell wall. Okay? It's entirely different. It's what makes them grow so fast. It's what makes them grow so strong, and it makes a different kind of wood in the long run. We did not know this. We're studying the new phytologist to find this out, which is just incredibly interesting. Research done at the University of Cambridge. Of course, if you've never had the opportunity to look at tulip tree flowers, look, liriodendron, start with L-I-R-I-O, liriodendron, that's a tree word, of course, but look at that tulip flower. It is such a beautiful flower, and that's why it's such a huge, important plant for swallowtail larvae. It's a really important tree, and I'm so happy to know that it's different. The team suspects in this midwood is why they grow so fast, this different structure that we did not know about. Doesn't seem possible, does it, that we wouldn't know? But we don't. So, yes, oh my goodness. Thanks to here's something I wish we didn't have to know. I'm sure you have been reading or watching with interest, as I have, the greater number, I'll just leave it at that, of shark attacks that we are seeing this summer. I'm not afraid of sharks. I wasn't even that impressed by Jaws, I have to tell you, but that's just me. On the other hand, I think they're beautiful and great creatures, and I certainly don't want to have to spend any time with them, okay? But the truth of the matter is that we are having more encounters. And the scientists at Flinders University have just learned that we are able now, that the injury dressings found in first aid kits can actually be used to identify the shark species involved in the bite incident. Isn't that crazy? They gather DNA samples from the equipment that's been around there, and also obviously from the wound itself. But I think that's so interesting that we have that much DNA knowledge and that much better to find out stuff. You know, we got to understand things. We got to know how things work. That's very true. Lee and Carroll County's singing my song today. That goes to show that we don't know everything, and a lot of what we know I'm not going to say it wasn't correct, because there is hardwood and softwood, but it is, there is more to it. There's a greater story. And if we can look deeper, then we generally will have a chance to see more. That's what I'm so happy about this research. I think that it's a wonderful thing to have the opportunity to do that. I don't know, though, sometimes it's actually better to be lucky than good, isn't it? There are some... This just sounded so insane to me that I wanted to tell you about just one more thing. University of British Columbia has created a new super black material. It's entirely different from other shades of black. What they did was they were trying to make wood more water repellent. And when they did that, they applied it to the long length of the board they were working on, but then they applied it to the cut end. And the cut end of wood cells turned extremely black and formed this new thing. So they didn't figure out how to make it more waterproof, but they did get a more interesting product. How we doing?
Well, we have the man. He is on a call line now. So we got the call with a video.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Good morning.
How are you doing, darling?
I am good.
Good to see you.
I'm good. It's a little
beautiful
warm out
here, but beautiful day in your garden. For folks that don't know, this is Mark Peaches Patrick. This is, in fact, his place, and it is beautiful.
So, poolside this morning.
The good news is that there's a lot to talk about. Now, tell me about what are we doing? We're hanging on. What are we doing besides watering?
Watering.
What's going on with you?
pulling up tomatoes. I've given up. It's time to start over.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I saw some beautiful plants at a garden center this week, so I know they're available if people are ready to go again.
Well, and he gave me a wad of them the other day, too, that were amazing. The tomatoes, they weighed, it was like I took home a cinder block. they weighed so much.
What you're going to love? I dug potatoes this morning.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, nice.
Is that red Lesotho? What variety is that? You don't know.
You know, I don't know.
The kind that eat.
Yes. That was the National Guard, everybody. There they go.
We love them. Thank you. We appreciate
we love them.
We appreciate them.
Yeah. So, you know, we're time to start over with the tomato plants. I've been watering and watering and had a good crop this year. But now I'm going to the farmer's market for a minute until I can get some more planted.
Well, and the good news is that there's plants available. I've got a few things started from seed for my fall crops and stuff. But
right.
I've decided to go farmer's market for my fall tomatoes. I've replanted. I left all the basil. People are seeing photos of that today. But I literally have put flowers and the sumac trees that you brought me into those giant containers. They look great. They're just beautiful.
Yeah. You know, I've got a plant. We kind of did that whole raised garden thing this year for the first time, and I'll feel bad if I don't try to do it, you know?
Well, you should, because everybody needs to grow a little something of what they eat. And we who like to do that, it's not that we want to make our neighbors feel bad, but we want to indicate a role model. We want them to see, you can do this too.
I haven't made the neighbors feel bad. We've made the neighbors quite happy.
Well, that's because you're feeding
them. Tomatoes, yeah. It was fun. It was fun.
The other thing,
just hanging out, watching what's going to make it through August and September, and the list, it gets abbreviated when it gets this hot.
There are fewer things. There definitely are fewer things to put out. But I got to say, your coleus are continuing. The coleus that you brought to me are just dominant at my place.
And you mentioned this little fella.
Obedient plant. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, I love it.
One of my favorite. It will either be perennial or it will reseed, probably more than you want it to, but it will reseed.
Yeah, it's not
and they're
very
easily
obedient,
removed once they get started. But it's a great, great summer snapdragon is how they're known.
And this one came from our trip up to Carthage back in March or April.
Yeah, good, good.
Yeah.
Beautiful plant.
Great
probably
plant.
From Nate. I've been telling people that we're going to have a few new events, some similarly ongoing events and some new events at the Bottle Tree Garden Tour this fall.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that. I picked this tune that we're going to roll out for because a lot of the things about summer gardening are really not that obvious. You look out and if there's some color, you think, well, that's okay. And on the other hand, if you look out there and you think, well, that needs to be watered, it's not okay. But the charms of the summer garden, some of them are kind of hidden, not just hidden ginger. Some of the other things that we need to pay attention to are kind of hidden up there too. So stick around. We'll talk about this, that. We're talking about hanging in there. Don't be daunted by the summer weather. Let's go. All right. We'll be right back.
So pure, it's the morning dew. The rail gon' love this Friday too. For eyes they talk and say, come on. What killed me, baby?
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Do you have an old, outdated website or just a Facebook page and still not bringing in customers? Targeted digital advertising from SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Listen to my bluebird laugh. She can't tell you why. Deep within her heart, you see, she knows all I cry. Just crying. Yeah.
Really good questions today. She sits, gotta tell you. Mark, I think you'll agree with me on this one. One of our texters from Brandon says that a couple of years there, the azaleas really took it on the chin. And now he pruned them way down. They've come back. They look great. Should he feed them now? I think so.
Yeah, yeah. It is time to start feeding them because they're going to start developing flowers.
Because they're going to be growing. They're getting ready for next year. I wouldn't feed them again until next spring, but...
Right.
I certainly think. But what a great project. So many people look out that window and go, oh, that looks terrible. And then they walk and look the other way, you know.
Yeah.
But you got to do something about these things every now and then. So.
Yeah.
And that's part of not giving up. It absolutely is.
They're not giving up. And I heard you mention cutting back the daylilies and the iris.
I want to know about that. You told me you were mowing over those ones. Is this the time for all that? And what about...
I didn't do it.
Well,
I convinced my neighbor to mow over
you. You watched.
The reason being is they've been there since the 70s, and they really need to be divided and moved.
Mm-hmm. And I get the feeling that that's this way, too. But what about Louisiana iris? They're just about to start growing in September. I don't know if I would want to mow them down. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't... You know, I think it's personal preference.
Mm.
You know,
well, and if you're not invested in them, if the weeds are a bigger problem, you know,
maybe just
let them go.
Haircut.
Yeah, give them a good, give them a serious haircut.
Exactly. Ooh,
talk about haircuts. How do you address this? This is not even my Vitex is now so the branches are so long that they're now swimming in the top of the limelight hydrangea. They're not supposed to be like that, but I can't do anything about it now. It's they're all tied up together.
If you prune them back now, you might have a good chance of having another round of flowers.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. The bees would be angry, though, because part of the weight is, you know, it's the Vitex is the bee tree at my house.
Hey, I have a question for both of y'all. I've noticed that at this point, the crepe myrtles are starting to shed off a lot of that exterior, and it looks healthy. Is it the heat? And two, the crepe myrtles are also blooming again, like a big, heavy, you know.
Yeah.
So my question on the crepe myrtle is when you see that shedding, Is that a good thing?
Is that bark? Or
yeah, the bark. I mean, yeah, it's the outer.
It's natural for many of the species.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay,
yeah,
though,
yeah,
right?
It's a desirable feature.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought I'd remember you saying mm-hmm. that, and I was looking at it.
Now, on the other hand, if the rest of the tree looks terrible and it's an ancient tree, maybe not.
No, it looks very healthy. But it's been well pruned and taken care of and, you know, the right way up. But I was just curious because it mm-hmm. seemed to have started shedding mm-hmm. more with the heat. But yet the blooms look amazing, and they're about to just bust wide open again. So, but that's natural, correct?
Right. Yeah.
They're exfoliating.
Okay, perfect.
Ooh,
I like
good
that.
Good word.
Yeah, I like that word. It's like a face scrub straightener.
It's one of those things that has to do with loofah sponges on your skin. You know, you can exfoliate. But the crepe myrtle does it. And it is a selected feature. It's something right. they really like. I think he's done a beautiful job. We're sitting on the couch having a good chat, you know.
I need
more color on me.
We had a couple of
kinks, but, you know, this was my maiden voyage.
That happens, brother. This is live, too. We're working the kinks out so we can do this right. stuff without kinks. But there's always a way around it. We just put him on the phone and still mm-hmm. have our mm-hmm. video. But I wanted to say thank you to both he and Mike letting me come by, take some shots the other day, visit, get a feel for
Got
it,
some beautiful
jump in
pictures.
The pool, and get a feel for how we were going to do this. Mark, they have a great yard, have
Lovely.
Amazing plants all over, and on the other side of all this there's tomatoes everywhere. They're all over the place. Yeah, they're not anymore though, but
we're in between crops,
the last
as they say.
One
that's it. No, that looks like you could just eat it right now.
Well, you could, like an apple. I ate the last Brandywine last night. There, I took the plants down about a week ago. I went in and looked into my crystal ball, and I decided that it was not going to be cool enough at night to set flowers, and the plants were not in great shape. So I went ahead and let go of them and harvested everything that was green, and the last one was delicious. But I was thinking I was going to save seeds because, you know, if you want to grow those the heirlooms, if you can save seed from the one you grew, those seed are going to do better for you next year than any that you buy in a packet because it's something that you've already, you know, you've just grown them. But I didn't manage to do that. I was hungry, and I ate the tomato.
You know, I didn't mention this one to you, but this is the first year that I have not planted moonflower plants.
Mm.
And I thought, let's just see what happens. They're growing up in a privet in the backyard.
There are a lot of things that will reseed if we just let them. If we just let them, a lot of things will reseed that way. I've got morning glories coming up in a hanging basket. It's been 2 years since there were morning glories in that basket, but they're going to win. So I'm all for that. You know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a really good time. Let's see what else is here on the text line this morning. And he did some of that right after the pruning. If you pruned, about the fertilizer on the azaleas, if you pruned them in, say, March or April, yes, go ahead and fertilize them again. But don't fertilize them after August. This is the last point. The beginning of August is the last point. We don't want to produce so much of new growth that it ends up getting vulnerable to the cold weather, should there ever be cold weather. Let's see.
Let's be optimistic.
Nancy's in Columbus. She's got crepe myrtle with sticky substances on it and white dots. How do I treat the problem? Mr. Patrick.
Here we go.
Talk to us about crepe myrtles. Woo!
Wow, yes. I think every time I'm on the show, we talk about this.
They're very popular plants. They are very popular.
There is an insect called crepe myrtle bark scale, and they're little white dots.
Mm-hmm.
That usually are found in the joints of branches, mm-hmm. the trunk, or branch to branch.
Yep, that's right. Right where the branches join each other, you know, where they're starting to break out.
Right there.
Yeah, right in the space where they're joining together to form the beautiful edge of the canopy that can bloom. Now, you may see that down on the trunk, but you're probably not. You're probably going to see it first out on those edges.
And this particular scale, at this point, is specific to crepe myrtle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Treatment is done best in early spring when the sap is moving with a drench. In the cooler temperatures, you can subdue it with like a horticultural oil or, mm-hmm, you know, some mm-hmm. type of oil.
But as you can see, there is always something to do in this case. Now, you can use a systemic at this point in the summer if that's what you need to do. But, you know, I'm not going to do that unless it's a tree that I absolutely need to keep and have. First of all, the systemic is dangerous for other pollinating insects, but it's expensive and you're going to have to do it every year. I don't want to set myself up for that.
It's real expensive.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like as a whole, you're going to start seeing the popularity of crepe myrtles wane because of this insect.
I think that's true. There are a few varieties that are less vulnerable, but I don't know that that will last.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's a possibility, and I don't want to sound, all negative, but maybe crepe myrtles have been overplanted.
You think?
That's why somebody's coming in to clear them out.
Well, and a lot of people think they're native because there's so many of them. They're not.
They're not.
But they're beautiful trees, but there are so many other things. For example, crepe myrtles dominate spring into summer, but if you want to plant some trees, why not plant a combination of things like Chinese pistache, which is going to be beautiful at this point and all the way into the fall,
love that one.
And Grancy Graybeard that's going to be spectacular in the early spring. And, there's other choices in that same size, tree. Yes,
so
exactly.
I guess answer her question and not dance around it, you can start by going to msucares.org and looking at crepe myrtle bark scale, mm-hmm. or go to a local independent nursery where somebody knows how to help you treat it.
Mm-hmm.
But you are not alone. It is widespread.
And it is, and they will help you get through it. And on the other hand, most of the time, if you start to glaze over when they tell you all the stuff you have to do, they're probably going to say, let me show you some other trees, because there are other choices.
How many people I have glazed over with that crepe myrtle bark?
Well, I mean, it's I don't know. It's like if I go to buy a jar of jelly and you want to tell me how to make jelly. You know what I mean? If I've got a tree already and all I'm trying to do is kill some bugs, it does seem like it's a lot. And
I
want to
know
how
to pickle zucchini.
See, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
it doesn't work.
We had a couple of questions before we get into the break, and you dealt with one of those very well on the text. But we also almost identical. Joe in Madison was curious what fertilizer to use on azaleas.
Mm-hmm.
I know we had that rehab that one of our was doing a great job. But what would you recommend on that?
I want one that's called acid forming fertilizer. I want to make sure that you're using something that's not going to change the soil environment. That reduces the amount of blooms and growth that you get on plants like azalea, camellia, holly, gardenia, acid-loving plants. They're the reason we have so many of those in our native palette across the Deep South is because our soil is naturally pretty acid. So that's where we have to accommodate them. I have to tell you, I don't know how you manage to position yourself this way, Mark, but I've got a flamingo on my shoulder over here.
I know.
We worked hard on this.
You've got a palm tree as a crown, so I think we've definitely achieved something here.
Yeah, we worked hard on this the other day. We had a good time figuring out, where's the best spot?
Where are we going to put these people?
But it has an amazing setup, so good job, buddy. Good job.
Thank
I'm going to work
will.
On the deck.
I owe a lot of that to my... the El Presidente of production over here, Mike. I might have gotten him up a little early this morning to get ready.
A man of multi-talents, definitely.
Yeah, that's an understatement there.
I have to tell you though, y'all. I saved this for both of y'all, and I'm not gonna be able to get to it in the next one because we're already getting more texts for Mark, and we've got lots of things that we want to talk about. But for anybody who's ever driven in the southern part of Mississippi, Louisiana, you've seen water hyacinths floating in the ditches and in the ponds, and you recognize that that's a terrible problem that is very beautiful. They're as beautiful as tallow trees and equally problematic, all right? So they've been trying to get somebody to do something. It's like the kudzu.
Did you talk about Chinese tallow?
Not right this second,
kidding.
But I have.
I'll
talk about how we can use kudzu to help with alcoholism, too, but that's another story. In this case, this particular bunch, these folks are from Belgium, and they have found their way to Houma Thibodeau, Louisiana, which is south of New Orleans, in case y'all don't know. It's one of my stomping grounds, so I do read the newspaper there online. It's the Houma Courier Thibodeau Daily Comet. And this is a, they're going to harvest the water hyacinths. This sounds so crazy. So let them probably be the first people that said, okay, we're going to take that bamboo and turn it into hoodies that'll be worth $500 a piece. Okay. Take them and make fiber out of them and turn them into something. They're going to turn this stuff into any number of things. This is an absolute wonderful opportunity. They're planning to build a $5 million factory in, there in Gibson, Louisiana. And it could, in fact, they're called Cynthia, and they're going to produce Cynthia fibers, which do everything, insulation, cat litter, fabric. All, I mean, there's just a boatload of things that apparently you can do with this that they've been doing in the lab, and now they're going to be doing it on a grand scale. There's something to do with everything. We can solve problems. We are human beings. We are built to solve problems, let's face it. And in this case, this is a big problem. If they can solve it, okay, I'm not going to spend $500 on the hoodie, but I might try the cat litter. I don't know. We'll see. But what do you think? I mean, there, we got problems we'd like to solve in that regard. What are we going to do with, you know, Carolina Creeper and Jenny and all of those things? Maybe we're going to have to turn them into food or something. I don't know.
To make floaties out of them.
Make floaties. We could.
Cool floaties.
You absolutely could. You absolutely could.
Yeah, I think it's a really neat idea. I'd be curious to watch that.
I want
to
see it. I really do.
The development. Yeah.
Talk to me, Mark, because you've got the design thing. You know, we're Southern Charm Garden Design is your business. And one of the things that is so cool about it is that you actually know what you're doing. There, you can put, anybody can put any kind of name on stuff, but when it comes down to, here's a big fat container out in front of my house, it better look good all the time, this is the person you want to ask, all right? What do I do about the container that doesn't look great? And usually I don't plant it again until pansies, and I don't want any pansies because it's not pansy time. There's going to be mums in the garden center soon, but I don't even want that. What can I put in there now? What's a good set of choices?
Wow. You know, that's one of the things that I'd like to do is when I get a customer that challenges me like that, what can we do? So, you know, in the fall, you can go on with great textures. I mean, lettuce is ornamental. Yeah.
So we're going to make mixed pots, maybe flowers and veggies. Let's talk about that when we get back.
Yeah,
we got
a little bit
more hot summer weather to get into.
The thing for hot summer weather is go tropical, go big, bold, use texture. And
ooh, and they're all on sale at the garden centers right now. Yeah. Hey, now stick around. You know, we'll be right back.
Cool cat looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But tonight it's a different world, go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night, despite the heat it'll be alright. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the night.
Superior, it's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish. Then there is Superior Catfish.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
A Chris.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in.
We've definitely gone into the garden now. This is wonderful. Where do you even find pineapple glasses? This is, I feel like I'm having lunch with SpongeBob here today. This is great. One of my very favorite people. Exactly. One of my very favorites. Hey, now,
I love making SpongeBob.
Talking about growing pineapples and things like that is always a lot of fun because people are always wanting to count the leaves and figure out, you know, if you've got enough. The biggest challenge of growing pineapples is that they're huge. The plants will get to be 4 feet wide before they put on a fruit. You know, so you have to have some space for that one. Definitely.
I have grown a few, and it is fun, but I think most people try too hard.
Yeah, you have to ignore them. And that's because they take up so much room, that's difficult to do sometimes. That's true.
Yeah.
I have another bit of information, but I'm going to close this out with another bit of information about our friends that we've been talking about all morning, the red velvet ants. Oh, yes. But before we get to that, that's my tease. Before we get to that, Mark, why do people think agaves are so impossible to grow? They're not. That beautiful blue agave in the container that you have put a picture of for us today is just lovely. Why don't we grow more of them?
Yeah, you know, misinformation probably. Uh-huh. They're not used enough because they're really tough. I love that one to death.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It is gone. It got recycled.
Good. It had to move on.
It got recycled.
But when we talk about those hot weather plants...
Yeah, it's a perfect color.
It looks gorgeous. You were talking to me the other day about lantanas. I feel like that's two things that could go in a big pot and absolutely look good every day when you got home from work, you know?
Well, and my favorite red yucca. I mean, it's evergreen. It's always pretty.
Beautiful plants. And sometimes we don't think about that, you know? We don't go there.
I'm going to look around the yard. Elephant ears, all that stuff is beautiful right now.
I could actually live inside the elephant ears at my house now. They've gotten so big.
We have a dog that does.
See?
The little 9-pounder, she thinks it's like, you know, that theme
That's
park.
The forest that's from her point of view. Yeah. You know, she... You,
but
you
yeah, agaves are underused. And there's some other plants that have been introduced, hybrids called mangoves that are across.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's another
one. They're
not as
cold hardy, though, so you have to be careful.
That's right. That's right.
It's one that you would have to bring in. But if you're looking for agaves, if they're solid blue or solid green, very likely will be cold hardy.
And it's very likely will be beautiful for years. Over-watering is a problem that we don't have, for example, with Adam's needle yuccas, but that's not as pretty a plant as the agaves are. When we think about that strong, sharp texture, we're always looking for something that's going to be kind of upright. And I think the agave does a better job.
And one of my favorite tricks that I learned after dealing and being around agave is to take fingernail clippers or scissors and cut the little points off so when you walk by them in the garden, they don't accost you.
Now that, my friends, is detailed grooming. that is serious.
I did it for the trash guy because I didn't want him to bleed to death when he loaded up that agave.
That was very kind of you. Very kind of you. And when they do, by the way, y'all, when they do split in the middle, they're compost. there are a lot of things we can reclaim, but not everything.
It was pretty scary.
Well, and it was lovely for a long time. It was pretty for a very long time. I just had another text come in on my phone, not on this phone, but the other phone. What variety of tomatoes am I looking for in fall tomatoes? I say whatever they're selling because you don't always have a choice.
Yeah.
But do you have a particular, do you like Hawaiian N65 or any of those? Do you have a particular one in that groups? I always say if they have solar in the name of them, they're probably heat tolerant.
Solar or heat or Cajun.
Heat
or,
wave, Cajun, those are all good, yes.
I'm scared of tomatoes with numbers as a name.
That's an interesting point of view. I hadn't thought about that.
That's like people having barcodes on their back of their neck.
It's troubling.
Give it a name. Don't give it a number.
Yeah, it's troubling. We won't even get into that one. Today turned out to be National Mustard Day, Mark, so we've been talking about favorite mustards. Do you have one? Do you prefer one thing over another? Or like me, do you like all mustards in their own context?
I like pretty much all mustard.
It's hard to resist.
One of my favorite snacks, and everybody always laughs at me, is Fritos. dipped in mustard.
Wow.
That tastes like a corn dog at the fair.
That's a salt bomb without the meat. That's an interesting.
When you sweat like I do, you might even need a little
bit. You probably
bit, right?
need a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a burgundy mustard that was gifted to me for my birthday, and it's delicious. I can't eat much of it because it's expensive, but it's a wonderful.
Right.
It's a little
right.
bit different from Dijon, but it has that little perky bite to it that I'm so fond of. We still didn't get any recipes in for refrigerator pickles. We had a request for that this morning on our text line, but somebody will probably send it to me and I'll bring it to you all next week. That's a good one. I don't make refrigerator pickles, but somebody does, I'm sure. Absolutely. Mark, tell me what's going on. Not classic, no. I make quickles. I'll pickle anything as long as it doesn't take more than 30
Apparently,
minutes.
Apparently, that was very famous around in country stores for a long time, and I'm glad that I've learned that, because I'm going to go find me a country store and get me a Kool-Aid pickle.
A Kool-Aid pickle.
Sounds awesome in the summer.
You hear me? I'm just going to smile on that one, and I'm sure it'll be delicious. My best dill pickle memory in my entire life is the fact that they were a nickel at the movie theater, and they lasted through the entire movie. Because they were as big as your arm. I mean, it's
yeah. You remember the ones that came in the little pack,
yeah,
like the little plastic thing, and the juice was in it. Those were huge.
Big deal. And yes, that's part of why we all appreciate pickles, is because they've always been around and they're always there when you need them. Do you pickle onions? I love pickled onions. That's another. We'll talk about that another day.
Yeah.
Talk about that another day. I didn't get a chance today to talk to y'all about the cheese of the future, so we'll have to talk about that another day.
But what about Max Planck?
They didn't have anything for us this
today.
Week. They did.
They're watching the Olympics.
They're probably busy watching the Olympics, which we've all been watching too. I think. I'll confess, my Miss Shakari Richardson's going to run this afternoon, and I'll be right there watching.
I tried my hand at surfing the other night.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, in the pool.
Wouldn't you, I was going to say, wishing you were in Tahiti, but, you know, the pool is also very good, or very delightful.
Yeah, mine was not a medal winner at all, trust me.
You didn't get, there was no judges standing up holding high scorecards or any of that
stuff.
You
got an A for effort.
Well, that's a good one.
Foul points. Yeah.
I like that.
You scored high, I'm sure.
I think that's very important. We have to always have a little bit of effort. You know, we have to try these things. One of the bits and pieces about our friend here, the red velvet ant, the cow killer ant, I told you that they're solitary. They go and lay their egg in the nest that they're predating, which is handy for us because they devour yellow jackets. I think I've found out why there's so many of them this year. They also attack cicada nests. And since the cicadas are out this year in such great numbers building new nests, it might explain that. I like to be able to tie a bow on things. Thank you, Mark Patches Patrick. Y'all get in touch with him on social media. And also, stay in touch with me, mamaonair@yahoo.com. Lance, appreciate you very much. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR, benefits, and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Harvested in June and July, Mississippi-grown sweet corn arrives just in time for your cookout or outdoor get-together. But you better be quick. Once Mississippi-grown sweet corn appears on your local farmers market shelves, it disappears just as fast. There are so many ways to cook and eat Mississippi-grown sweet corn, but of course our favorite is corn on the cob.
Sweet corn, just one of the many foods the Mississippi farmer grows for you. The farm families of Mississippi.
Are you the parent?
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.